It's overcooked because it's difficult for people to make money out of the beef price and selling meat with the sale yard price at these levels. But the reason it's overcooked is because we're restocking the herd and rebuilding after the droughts on the East Coast. Just recently we've had a kick up again in the US price, which was a bit unexpected. It looked like it was trending downwards, so that's going to be positive. But the major change will come from an increase in supply. If you think back to 2014, 2015, our cattle market was really oversupplied because we were selling down on the East Coast as a result of the drought. Now we're rebuilding the herd. And as a sell-off for the drought doesn't last forever, but a rebuild doesn't take forever either. So at the moment, restockers are in strong activity. Those cattle are being kept and mated and bred, and so more beef's going to come on. But look, I don't think it's a really bad story, the cattle market looking forward. And you've only just got to have a look at feedlots. I mean, at the moment, feedlots have got over 1 million cattle on feed, and they're not dills. They make smart business decisions, so they see there's a future at these prices as well.
So where do you think the Eastern Young Cattle Indicator could be potentially 2018-19?
We run a model. The model says it should be closer to 500 than where it is now, above 600. If I was going to put a number, and you know, we'd never want to be held to these things, but if you to fine-tune it a little bit, I think somewhere around 550 to 575 will be where it sits. And that's, while that's lower than where it is now, it's certainly much higher than its long-term historical position. And I think that's the real story with beef. I think there is a kick-up in the levels. Demand, the reduction of tariffs, increased activity from MLA in promoting and a whole host of things are contributing to give us a positive story, and that will be reflected in a higher level. I mean, a bit like what we've seen in lamb prices. You know, lambs have, over the last 15 years, we've produced more and we've sold them at higher prices, and that's all because of demand. So we think that'll flow through into beef. You know, it'd be a similar story.
And of course, with the beef game, carcass weights have been getting heavier and heavier as well.
You know, in some ways that's positive. I mean, it makes processing a little bit cheaper. It's a bit cheaper per kilogram to process a heavier beast. Just recently, though, there is a kickback from the consumer, and the consumer saying, hang on, we want thicker steaks, but if they're also bigger eye muscles, you know, we're ending up with these camel steaks or elephant steaks. And so there'll be an adjustment there. Maybe it might be a bit like what we saw in breeding, where, you know, at one stage it was get bigger, 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 and then all of a sudden people said, hang on, what's more efficient? I wouldn't be too worried about that move, about heavier weights. That'll react to the market.
Globally, what will be some of the key indicators feeding into that 500 mark for the Eastern Young Cattle Indicator?
I think we've got to accept that the market today is a bit overcooked, and it's overreacted to the drought sell-off, and so that's why we're at these levels here. But there's no doubt, you know, the middle class of Asia, the emerging middle class, the growing middle class, you know, by 2030, that'll be the biggest middle class in the world. They're the driving factors in this increased demand for meat proteins. And we know that when, you know, population incomes get above $10,000 per annum US, the increase in consumption for fats, carbohydrates and proteins really dramatically escalates. Now, the fortunate thing for us is most of that activity is happening in India and China. 80% of India is Hindu, so they're not going to eat a lot of meat. But in China, you know, that's going to be where the big demand is. We've got great relationships with China over a long time, and we're close proximity. Vietnam's another country. Those sort of countries emerging with this sort of people coming out of third world states into second world, or the emerging middle class, call it what you like. That's the big driver. The challenge will be that everybody wants a piece of that action. So South America wants a piece of that action. Everybody, we've just got to maintain our competitive edge.
Does that come in the form of a box, or does that come on a ship?
I think mainly in the future it will come in a box, or you know, maybe full sets to Japan and Korea, those type of products. But we shouldn't underestimate live cattle impact. What our live exports do is it creates a lot of goodwill with these countries. So, you know, if we can help them build their cattle industries, they then continue to rely on us. There's no way they can build their cattle industries quickly enough to meet their emerging demand. We've seen that in Indonesia. You know, Indonesia has a view that they want to be self-sufficient. Well, I mean, it's a real pipe dream. Because of the conflict between, you know, being self-sufficient and having high beef prices or having beef come in and everybody can afford it. I think by and large we'll see that there's more demand for our box beef or our slaughtered products. But, you know, there is a trade-off there. There is countries that want to, you know, finish the cattle, add weight. They can do it cheaper in their countries and want to slaughter them and want to sell them in their wet markets. So I think we need to adjust both ways.
Do you think things are going to get a little easier for processors in the next few months following spring?
No doubt they'll get easier, and no doubt the prices will adjust so that they start making some profits in the spring. That happens every year when supply starts to increase. But we shouldn't spend a lot of time feeling, you know, all that sad for the processors. The amount of profits that were made during the drought were unprecedented. So, and look, most will say those profits aren't sitting in their business now, but that's the nature of the business. On average, and we run a cutout model and we look at the average processor margin, on average over a long period of time, it sits at about $50 per head. You know, this year it's been sitting in minus 50 to minus 75, you know, losses. In the boom times for the processors, which was, 2014, 2015, it was about $300 a head, and that was in record numbers. So that's the nature of the business.